This is a business radio show where we talk about the craziness of small business. It's that craziness that actually makes it exciting, interesting, and totally unpredictable. This is Business Insanity Talk Radio with your host, Barry Maltz.
Welcome to Business Insanity Talk Radio. This is your host, Barry Maltz, and this is the final word in small business. For those keeping track, this is show number 342. This episode is provided by Sage One. It's an online accounting and business services solution for every small business. It's also provided by Nextiva, the answer to all your business communication solutions in the cloud. Well, lots of things are changing when it comes to the rules around employees. Minimum wage is going up here in Chicago and other parts of the country. President Obama wants to rewrite the overtime rules, and payrolls are becoming more and more complicated as we deal with a virtual workforce. We're going to give you solutions to all that in the next hour. But first, have you ever tried to collect a debt from a client? Ever have a debt collected from you? How should you act in each of the situations? Well, here to help is attorney Mike Cardoza. He's a former senior executive of a debt buying company, a debt collection agency, and a major regional high volume debt collection law firm. He now brings his experience and skill to help consumers everywhere regain control of their financial lives by getting the upper hand. He's got a great book out. It's called The Secret World of Debt Collection. Beat collectors at their own game. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Well, you worked a lot around debt.
Yeah, and I'm dying to jump right in and answer those two questions.
All right, so a couple of things here is that first thing you say is that you have to understand you're not your debt. What does that mean?
Yeah, that more applies in the consumer context. And what happens is when you've got consumer debt and people start calling, you just kind of naturally revert back to the age that you were when you last got your lesson about consumer debt, which was in about fifth grade when you were 12 and your dad said to not ever take any more debt than you can pay back. And if you listen to the recordings of these debt collection calls, those collectors are talking to you like you're 12 and you're actually answering like you're 12. So, you know, you're in this kind of strange transported universe where you're not able to really think objectively and rationally and financially about the transaction that's going on.
Let's stay on consumers for a little bit, because I know we're all consumers as well as business people. You say, what are the real reasons that we actually pay these debt collectors when we don't have to?
Oh, man. Well, when I say it, you know, the people are going to be like, oh, this guy's crazy, and maybe it requires 20 minutes of explanation or a short read of my short book. But the three major reasons that people pay are, one, friendship. That collector tries to be your friend, and if they're successful at it, you'll pay them before you pay other creditors. Two, you've got this feeling of moral obligation that you can't quite shake, and you haven't sort of really picked it apart to figure out, wait a minute, do I have a bigger moral obligation to City Capital Bank or to my kids and their educational fund? And three is fear, and it's fear of the unknown. These collectors that tell you random things like your account's going to be referred to secondary control to the fullest extent of, you know, whatever. And I mean, it doesn't make any sense, and it doesn't have to, because you're so freaked out about the unknown because you're a human being that you'll fill in whatever terrors terrify you in particular. So those are the three reasons why people pay, and I can tell you that from 7 years of experience.
All right, so what should you do instead?
Read my book, take about 25,000 steps back, and look at your personal balance sheet just like you would look at your business's balance sheet. Do you have enough debt? Do you have too much? How are you going to manage it? And just take a real rational look at what's going on, and get educated about the consumer protection laws out there, because most of the financial education is being sponsored by large lenders, and they want you to figure out how to make enough money to pay back their credit card. And so those messages are kind of drowning out the consumer protection messages, which are, hey, since 1977, we've had this whole spate of massively powerful laws that are designed to protect you, even if you think you owe the debt. And they're very complicated and they're very technical. And unfortunately, there's kind of a small body of lawyers that's out there to help you interpret them.
We're talking with Mike Cardoza. He's got a book called The Secret World of Debt Collection, Beat Collectors at Their Own Game. Now, Mike, it's a little bit different when you're a small business owner and they call to collect a debt from a business. Talk about that.
Yeah, so let me answer question number one that came at the intro real quick, and then let me hit this one. Question number one was, what do you do if you're trying to collect a debt from somebody else? And my answer to you as a small business person is don't. Don't get in that position. Take your cash up front. Be like the insurance company. If people want your services, they'll pay in a way where you never have to extend business credit. And don't extend business credit because it's really super difficult to go after it. You're probably going to have to pay an attorney hourly to go after this thing, and it may not be worth your while. So just take money up front or do it in a credit card transaction.
But okay, if you can't, what do you do? Let's say you have to give this person credit, right? Large corporation or whatever it is. What do you do? How do you collect the money if they won't pay?
Persistence. And you've got to kind of – boy, this is tricky. You got to kind of establish a little bit of leverage, and you have got to recognize the people that are going to be too slow to pay for your cash flow cycle such that it just doesn't work for your business to serve them. And you have to start to recognize the people that are just going to use you up and spit you out and move on to someone else, because that does happen. So if something feels weird about your relationship, like the guy you're working with tells you one thing, but the accounts payable clerk is sending you checks on a totally different period, run away. Just run away.
I think it's a really good point.
In the long run. And then answering number two, hey, all small business people, you know, I've sat in your shoes before, and you're going to be scrambling for cash, and you're going to use some of your personal financial clout to fund your business because you believe in it. And, hey, that's the way a lot of businesses have blown up and been successful. But, and your lawyer has told you this before, but I'll tell you again, keep the financials separate. So if you have a personal credit card, do not charge any business expenses on that at all, because you will lose the consumer protection rights and powers that go along with debts that you incur for your personal use. And likewise, if you've got a business credit card, don't put any of your personal expenses on it, because you will probably lose the consumer protections that you've got on those expenses as well. And this is a short time for me to tell you all this, but if you go upside down, particularly with respect to your consumer debts, nothing really bad is going to happen. And you think, oh my God, I'm going to get sued. Well, there's a good chance you're going to get sued by a debt buyer who bought that debt and can't probably prove it in court. Or, you know, my credit score, you probably already have a place to live and you're making rent. So you don't need a super strong credit score to get a great apartment, and you don't need to have a great credit score to borrow any more money anyway, because you're currently in a cash flow crunch. So, look, if something goes bad, it's not the end of the world. Don't die a long death. You know, if it's not going to happen, just decide that it's not, and figure out a plan to fail fast and then move past it, because you aren't going to have that many negative effects of going upside down with all that stuff you took out, and your credit report's going to be totally clean in 7.5 years. So what I'm saying is, like, you know, if you're going to have to go, you know, you want to hang quickly and break your neck. You don't want to strangle to death. I hope that wasn't too graphic.
No, it's all good. So I wanted to ask you one last question with the time we have. As you're talking about separating out your business credit cards and your personal credit cards, is it a matter of just using certain credit cards for business or personal, or is it getting the credit card in your business name versus your personal name? I want to make sure we're very specific on that.
No, it's the former. It's the former. It's separating out the expenses. It doesn't. If the credit card is in the business's name, that's going to be a business card, and you're not going to be able to get the personal consumer protections. So if you have a credit card in your business's name, if it's you know, you're guaranteeing it, but it's got your business name on it, don't make any personal expenditures on there, because you're not going to get the protections. And it's just as easy. It's as easy as segregating your expenditures from one card to the other. You know, take a Sharpie, write on the front of the card, business and personal. And that way it'll make it so much easier for your accountant. It'll make it easier for everybody going down the road. You want to keep those things separate. And here's another thing. You know, you incorporate so that you have limited liability, so that you personally escape the responsibilities of your company should something go wrong. If you commingle and you start to mix the personal and business expenditures, you could lose the legal benefit of that limited liability.
And so, again, I just have to follow up on this one more time, Mike. Can you have a personal card and just use it for business and not personal expenses and still be covered, or that doesn't count? It's got to be in the business name.
Oh, no. You can use a personal card for business expenses. You probably won't have all of the consumer protections that you would if these were personal expenses, because the consumer protection laws cover expenses that you make for personal household and family uses. But, yeah, there's nothing wrong with doing what you just said. It's just keep those two things
separate. Keep them separate. Well, Mike, that's all the time we have. Just give us a short call out for your website and where they can get the book.
www.thesecretworldofdebtcollection.com.
Mike, thanks so much. We'll be right back. This is AM 560, The Answer.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com Traffic Center.
I'm Rich. Taking a look at the roadway, still had problems on inbound 57, where the ramp to 127th blocked off, with crews cleaning up an accident at 127th and Marshfield. Other than that, there are no delays on the area expressways, just a lot of closures due to festivals, including on the northwest side. Ainslie's shut down between Laramie and Milwaukee for the Taste of Polonia. Grant Park set up for the Magnificent Mile Women's Half Marathon, closes Columbus between Roosevelt and Balbo. Later on this morning, we'll see more closures on Randolph and on Michigan. Everything should reopen by 4 p.m. today. And in the South Loop, Motor Row Craft Beer and Wine Festival closes Wabash between 16th and 18th until 4 a.m. on Monday morning. Weather forecast: looking for a muggy high in the low 90s, 74 O'Hare, 75 Midway, and at the lakefront. Your next update comes your way in just 15 short minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
On Wednesday, September 16th, the Republican presidential candidates are heading to Hollywood for their second debate, and AM 560 is rolling out the red carpet. Join us for Big Issues on the Big Screen, a debate watch party at the Hollywood Palms Cinema in Naperville. Watch the debate on the big screen. The best way to get tickets? Buy a ticket to Freedom Summit Chicago 2015 and get a free ticket to Big Issues on the Big Screen. Go to freedomsummitchicago.com. Sponsored in part by Precision Payroll of America, Chicago Anesthesia and Pain Specialists, and by DeVal Jewelers.
Are you stuck? Is this the year you finally grow your business and make more money? During Barry's many years of running his own company, he had to deal with the challenges of a business that just wasn't going anywhere. It was a painful realization. His business had flatlined, and he had no idea how to breathe new life into it. It was especially difficult for Barry since his customers were not getting the service he was so passionate about delivering. Second, he wasn't making any money. Finally, his business was sucking the life out of him. Do any of these sound familiar? Your sales won't budge in spite of your best efforts. You have few new leads for customers coming in and existing customers fading away. You're burned out and completely exhausted. It's no longer fun, and your family suffers as well. If you're one of the millions of small business owners facing these problems every year, Barry has the answer. Check out BarryMaltz.com/unstuck to subscribe to his 6-part video series.
The Home Improvement and Remodeling Expo that Bob Vila promotes is coming back to the Lake County Fairgrounds September 19th and 20th. If you're looking to remodel your kitchen, bathroom, basement, or you're in the market for a new roof, flooring, windows, or siding, then this is the event for you. At this free 2-day expo, you'll meet local and national contractors displaying their best products and services. Get fresh ideas, set up estimates, and talk directly with contractors, many of which are offering huge discounts. Maybe you need a new fence, deck, gutter protection, or just a handyman. You'll find everything you need under one roof. Increase the value of your home and impress your friends and family by getting the hottest home updates. Pick the brains of the experts and hire your next remodeling contractor at the upcoming Home Improvement and Remodeling Expo, September 19th and 20th at the Lake County Fairgrounds in Grays Lake. This is the Home Expo Bob Vila promotes, and admission and parking are free. Get more information at homeshowevent.com. That's homeshowevent.com.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now, on AM 560, The Answer.
One of the biggest headaches small business owners face is payroll, but it's also the one of the easiest things to fix. Here to help is Joshua Reeves. He believes in the power of software to solve complex problems and co-founded Zen Payroll to deliver delightful, modern payroll to business everywhere. Josh was selected to the 2012 Forbes 30 Under 30 list and is a regular contributor to Forbes, Entrepreneur, and Business Insider. Josh, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here, Barry.
So I've heard payroll referred to as a lot of things, but it's usually not called delightful.
No, it's usually thought of as a chore or a hassle, but we have a unique take, which I'm happy to share with you.
Yeah, so tell us about that.
Yeah, and it's something that every business is affected by. It's a very foundational problem. And one stat that really shocked us, 1/3 of companies every year in the U.S. get fined for incorrectly doing their payroll taxes. So when we started the company about 3.5 years ago, we wanted to fix that problem. And what really made sense to us was if you look at payroll, it's not this complex chore. If you have a partner that can do it for you, what's left is this human relationship. Payroll at the end of the day is about two people, the employer and the employee. And with that lens, what we're doing for them is helping the employee get paid, which is a really wonderful moment to be a part of, and helping an employer show appreciation for this person's hard work and make sure that they know that their contributions are being acknowledged. So for us, payroll really is about people, but we can do all of that complex tax filings, payments, tax calculations, et cetera, entirely behind the scenes on your behalf.
You know, this is really important because people don't realize, a lot of owners don't realize how important, I mean, they know intrinsically, Josh, but how important it is to get payroll right. And listen, when I ran my own businesses in the 80s and 90s, I was one of those people that didn't do payroll right. And the government was upset that all of the taxes that I collected from my employees, I didn't remit to them right away. I didn't understand that.
Yeah, it's something that, again, every single company, as soon as they hire their first employee, it's
absolutely
has to be done. And it's not just the taxes, it's also the filing. And there's 15,000 different tax codes spread across the U.S. They're only getting more complex. And that was what was shocking to us. Today, about 40% of companies do payroll by hand, pen, paper, spreadsheets. And it doesn't have to be that way. I mean, that's why we started the company, to bring modern software to be your partner and to make it something that anyone could do. We built the product in a way where my grandma could be able to use the product with no training whatsoever.
And if it's simple for the employee to understand, Josh, and it's done right, then there's that trust that develops between the employee and the employer that you just can't replace.
Yeah, I mean, that's when it comes back to, we're privileged and honored to be able to serve these small businesses, because starting a company is always a labor of love. No one makes anyone do any of these actions. It's a desire to solve a problem, fix something, do something for their community. And at the end of the day, it's about this very personal relationship in a small business that a team has in terms of this. For many companies, you know, that are family run, itself actually even being family. And so that relationship is something that software, again, should be a partner to. And unfortunately, in the past, a lot of these systems have been there to treat people as ID numbers and treat it as if they're just a transaction. And that's a very kind of inhuman and kind of very impersonal way to think about building a team, building a company, taking care of your community.
We're talking with Joshua Reeves. He's one of the co-founders of Zen Payroll. Josh, you always talk about how large companies can learn a lot from small business. What is that?
Yeah, well, it happens in both ways. I mean, one thing we're doing is bringing technology that used to only be available to large companies now to a 1, 2, 5, 10-person company. But the really cool thing, when we talk a lot about how people are the foundation of every business and that human relationship between the employer and employee is what matters, that's something that small businesses get. That's how they've been running their businesses for a long time. Like, these are mostly family-run businesses. And when you talk to them, it's someone they've worked with for 5, 10, 20 years. And so it's actually an amazing experience to learn from them and be inspired by their journey. And as we start serving different size companies, you know, when we launched 2.5 years ago, we were only really serving 1 to 5 person companies in California. Today, we're now nationwide, all 50 states plus UC, really serving 1 to 150 person companies. But as we expand to larger breadth of companies, we want to really take those lessons from small business, from those mom and pop shops, and bring them to these larger companies that oftentimes can end up not thinking of each new hire as in as special a ways when they hired their first, second, or third employee. And that's something that ultimately damages the culture in the community inside those companies.
And why don't you think more companies take advantage of this simple service? Is it because they just don't know or they're too busy?
So I think it's just an amazing time to be a small business owner, because a lot of these tools and technologies were not available in the past. So to use SendPayroll as an example, we use a lot of paperless technologies. So e-sign, e-file, e-fax, e-payment. Many of those technologies were not available 10 years ago, or people weren't comfortable with them. We're a cloud-based application, which means people access it in the web browser. Again, trust is such an important part of our business. We never had a beta, never had a pilot. Our product has to work right from day one. But 10 years ago, online banking wasn't as prevalent. Facebook didn't exist. Dropbox and other storage systems were not around. And so people now are much more comfortable working with a trusted partner. And then the third piece that I think is just transformative across the board for small businesses is having a smartphone. We talked to hundreds and thousands of companies when we started SendPayroll, and it actually made sense at that time to do payroll by hand. Many of these small businesses don't have big corporate offices. They're on the go. They're serving a customer, doing it with pride. But they didn't, it doesn't make sense to go home and install software on your computer at the end of the day. But now you have a computer in your pocket. And we used to say early on in our company, you could run payroll from the beach as kind of a broader message. We've had now hundreds of customers send us photos running payroll from the beach. So again, just a really different time we live in today than even just 10 years ago. It makes our product possible and makes the way a small business is run across the board, whether it's in payroll or other parts of the back office or front office, go through a lot of change over the next few years.
And it's important, really, to have that peace of mind, because payroll, I think, has actually become more complicated because people have a virtual workforce. They live in all sorts of different states. And when it comes down to it, when someone leaves or they want to keep track of their vacation, you got to make sure it's done right.
Yeah, it's every single state, county, city is different. We joke now that we're nationwide and we're proud to be serving every single part of the country, every single type of business, bakeries, flower shops, cafes, churches, hotels. But we joke that the U.S. is almost like 50 countries in terms of how different the specific rules can be. And the fact is, no one should have to become an expert on those rules, right? This is one of 20 hats a business owner has been wearing for a long time. And they can take off one of those hats in terms of understanding when to make a payment, how to do a specific tax calculation, when to file a specific form. You know, a business owner is not better off by signing their name for the fifth time on a government document, right? It's not going to make them more successful. They just have to do it. And that's where software can be helpful. We can put your name into all those documents. And we give you an audit trail. You can see all the documents we've done. Everything is fully transparent. But if you never want to look at a government document, again, you don't have to. And most folks don't really want to look at government documents ever again.
Well, Josh, with the last minute we have, I did want to touch upon, you've done a great job at SendPayroll of developing a culture that people really want to be part of. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I think it really all comes down to, and again, we're inspired by our small business customers in this regard too, motivation. Why did we start the company in the first place? And for me and for my co-founders, we exist to solve a problem. And that was the one-third of companies getting fined every year. That's what was a call to action for us to build something to try to fix that. And so when we talk about value system, that's really what guides our business. I truly believe people don't have personal or professional values. They just have who they are, what they stand for. And there are no right or wrong values, but companies want to be authentic and adhere to what makes them unique. And so for us, as we've hired and grown the company, really staying true to our values, finding folks when we hire them that are really motivated to serve this customer and have a relevant skill set have really been our guiding principles. And we hope to do this for a long, long time. My dream and my goal would be to spend the rest of my life building SendPayroll to its full potential, the chance to serve millions of companies with this very foundational part of how a business is run, be their partner. That's the part of software as a service that I like the most. We're a service company. We're here to serve our customer. But I could care less when I'm 90 years old if my name is associated with SendPayroll. I derive a lot of joy every day from hearing from our customer and how we're making their life better, and then seeing my teammates grow and develop and reach their potential.
Well, Josh, I appreciate you being on the show. You can reach Josh at www.zenpayroll.com. Josh, thanks again.
Thanks, Barry.
This is AM 560 The Answer. We'll be right back.
September 16th, the Republican presidential candidates are heading to Hollywood for their second debate, and AM 560 is rolling out the red carpet. Join us for Big Issues on the Big Screen, a debate watch party at the Hollywood Palm Cinema in Naperville. Watch the debate on the big screen. The best way to get tickets? Buy a ticket to Freedom Summit Chicago 2015 and get a free ticket to Big Issues on the Big Screen. Go to freedomsummitchicago.com. Sponsored in part by Protect the Harvest, healthinsurancementors.com, and by Spot Design.
Radio, I'm Gary Baumgarten. Why are so many Syrian refugees headed for Europe?
This is a taste of the horror that Syrian refugees have left behind. It's thought the footage was filmed around Damascus a couple of days ago, showing the terrifying aftermath of an airstrike.
Sky News reporter Joey Jones, the Pope just now calling on every parish and religious community in Europe to take in one migrant family. A rally in Kentucky in support of Kim Davis, the county clerk, who refuses to issue marriage licenses to gay couples on religious grounds.
Sometimes we got to make sacrifices as human beings, and so that's what we're doing. We're making sacrifices.
Davis's husband, Joe Davis. At least 10 people are dead as a fishing boat capsizes off South Korea's southern coast. Fox News, we report. You decide.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com traffic center.
I'm Rich, taking a look at the roadways. Some big problems on the Kennedy outbound. You're jammed from Lawrence to Central with a crash in the two left lanes. Reported as a multi-vehicle accident. Give yourself 22 to get out to O'Hare. Inbound Stevenson, we are hearing also that there's a rollover crash blocking the left and the right lanes at Pulaski. But the good news is inbound 57, the ramp to 127th is back open after an earlier crash. Traffic is sponsored by Mothers Against Drunk Driving for victims of drunken and drunk driving. Your grief is unique, but you are not alone. You always have a place at MAD. Call their 24-hour victim helpline at 877-MAD-HELP or visit MAD.org. Weather forecast, it's going to be hot and steamy with highs in the lower 90s. Right now at O'Hare, it's 74, 75 Midway and Lakefront. Your next update comes your way in just 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva. Simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
Four new employees.
A 20% increase in revenue.
Being one of the 9 million women business owners in the U.S.
These are your proudest numbers, your landmarks of growth and success. Sage helps you achieve business milestones with cloud and software solutions that lead to deeper financial insights. Believe in your numbers. See what Sage can do for your business. Visit believeinyournumbers.com today.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
I'm Lex, CEO of Balance of Nature. At Balance of Nature, we believe in real communication. Whether you call into the office or hear a success story on the radio, you can be sure it's real, unsolicited and unscripted conversation.
I was on thyroid medicine for 5 years. I have completely got off of it, and all my blood work came back excellent.
It does a lot of good for me because I feel it works. The reason why I'm taking it because I've got Hep C. Once I began taking your stuff, it took a few months. But believe it or not, my liver enzymes are way down, and it's normal now.
When you can give your body a full variety of 31 different fruits and vegetables in their 100% natural, whole food form, you receive the unmatched balance of nutrition. Call toll-free 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com and be sure to enter promo code Chicago.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, here's Barry Maltz.
Welcome back. The Obama administration is proposing new overtime laws. How is this going to affect small businesses? Here to help is Winnie Sun. She's the managing director and founding partner of Sun Group Wealth Partners, a trusted financial consulting firm providing financial planning services to small businesses, senior executives, celebrities, and established family businesses throughout the West Coast. Winnie, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thanks, Barry, for having me.
So tell us about what the Obama administration is proposing and what kind of effect do you think it's going to have on small businesses?
Well, you know, Obama's basically proposing that American workers who work more than 40 hours a week and make less than a little over $50,000 a year are going to have to pay their employees overtime. I think, as it pertains to small businesses, it's going to have some major impact. It's not really clear. I don't really think it's a clear decision of whether it's a positive or negative, but certainly it will have impact, and especially will impact small businesses and how much they have to pay out to these employees. And as you know, they've already been impacted dramatically by Obamacare.
Yeah, Obamacare and also the minimum wage. So does this overtime apply to exempt and non-exempt employees alike? Because that was always the differentiator.
Mm-hmm. Well, it seems like it will. I mean, the factor here will be mostly how much they make. So it's right now based on income. So if you're making less than $50,440 per year, and then you will be required to pay overtime to these employees. And so, you know, this is something that at least here, I'm based in California, and this is not something we're unfamiliar with. This
right.
Is, we've always had strict overtime anyway.
Very tough employee laws there, yes.
Yeah. So it's really a mixed bag here. I don't think it's so clear of, I think actually in most cases it could negatively impact small business owners, but it could also negatively impact a lot of the employees that are involved in this equation.
In what way?
Well, if you think about it, you know, a lot of these employees who had the potential to perhaps work as exempt employees had they had opportunities for more growth. In addition, of course, we want to make sure that they're well compensated and we want them to be fairly treated. But if there are companies that they're working for, say small businesses or even startups, and they're crunched on how much they can spend for employees in general, they might change this to working or hiring two part-time employees instead of one full-time employee.
Right. But Winnie, yeah. Let's really face it, because I've run a lot of small businesses and I'm guilty as charged. A lot of time we'll abuse our employees and they'll work overtime and not getting paid. You know, some of these laws are in effect for good reason because there is some
absolutely.
Problems out there.
Yes, absolutely. I completely agree. And like just like you, I mean, I run a small business and I absolutely am very, very adamant about taking good care of our employees as it pertains to overtime. But I don't think it applies to all businesses. So I mean, there are obviously we're in the service business and we have good compensation and a lot of benefits on top of that. But I'm sure there are other small businesses that don't have that capability. And there are also employees that choose to work at these companies that might be squeezed out of having a full-time position where they would then also have benefits and other types of benefits. It's really not clear. I mean, we see the benefit in both. Obviously, we would love to take care of our employees, pay them a very fair wage and overtime. But also, you know, you can't squeeze out so much the small business owner, too, because they are important to growth and economy.
See, Winnie, one of the things that I'm hopeful for is that we actually get people to do their jobs in 40 hours, because it'd be great if there was no overtime and they could go out and do other things.
Yes, absolutely. That is the dream come true, right? So perhaps it, you know, and it's probably going to, this is probably going to be the next.
Winnie, I feel like that dropped there. Now, yeah, let's start again. Go ahead.
Yes. Well, I think that's probably going to be the case, especially with technology making things much more efficient. That's also going to naturally make our employees more efficient, because in order to compete and to continue to be viable and attractive to employers, naturally they're going to be more and more efficient. But, you know, there's many industries out there that simply will abuse this exempt status, right? So there are a lot of companies, especially startups, that rely on paying low wages and working their employees like crazy. And unfortunately, that's just the nature of it. And I hopefully, ideally, we'd love to think that they're being overly compensated in other respects, like employee benefits and stock options and stock and whatnot. But having their sort of been a mandate by the government for overtime is not necessarily a bad thing. We see that in the state of California, right? I mean, we're still viable and we're still doing good business.
Right. We got 30 seconds left. I just want to ask you one quick thing about, you have a new business show coming out on TuneIn Radio called Renegade Millionaire. What's the 15-second description of that?
We interview CEOs and celebrities and people doing really unique things.
That's 15 seconds. Where can people reach you, Winnie?
They can reach me really active at Twitter, SunGroupWP, and website, WinnieSun.com.
Winnie, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Barry. Take care.
Well, this is AM 560. We'll be right back.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com Traffic Center.
I'm Rich, taking a look at the roadways. The earlier crash outbound on the Kennedy has been cleared off, so all lanes are open at Milwaukee. It's a 20-minute trip out to O'Hare. Now, if you're traveling inbound on the Stevenson, watch out for a very serious accident blocking the two left lanes inbound at Pulaski. Thankfully, volume is so light on the Stevenson, we're not seeing too much of a delay, if any, really. Not affecting the travel times at all. It's still 34 either way from 355, 24 to and from the Tri-State. If you're traveling through some of the suburban streets, watch out for closures in Naperville for the last fling. Eagles shut down between Aurora and Jefferson, Jackson between Ewing and Main Street, and there will be several roads closed through the loop as the Magnificent Mile Half Marathon takes place. Weather forecast, watch out for some very muggy conditions with highs in the lower 90s. Your next update comes your way in just 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
You've already upgraded your cell phone to a smart device, which lets you use the internet to be more productive on the go. But what about your desk phone? Nextiva is a smart business phone system in the cloud. With a simple setup through an internet connection, you can soon have access to your office communications wherever you are. Stay seamlessly connected with clients and stay more mobile than ever before for just one low monthly cost. Give your business more than just a basic desk phone. Visit Nextiva.com or call 800-799-0600 to learn more today. Nextiva, simplifying your business communications. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company.
My proudest number is 2005. That's the year I started my business. It was just me for 2 years, and then I hired my first employee.
My proudest number is 20. Last year, I saw a 20% increase in revenue. We got our first six-figure check, too.
My proudest number is 36. That's how many new clients I've signed. And next quarter, I'll double it.
My proudest number is 42. I was 42 when I became one of the 9 million women business owners in the U.S., and I never looked back.
These are your proudest numbers, your landmarks of growth and success. Sage Cloud and software solutions help you achieve these milestones by providing deeper insights into all your numbers. So believe in them. Believe in your numbers. See what Sage can do for your business. Visit believeinyournumbers.com today to learn more.
Stick around and get your small business unstuck. More of Business Insanity Talk Radio with Barry Maltz. Now on AM 560, The Answer.
Welcome back. Andrew Davis's 20-year career has taken him from local television to the Today Show. He's worked for the Muppets in New York. He's marketed for tiny startups and Fortune 500 brands. He's got a book called Brandscaping, Unleashing the Power of Partnership. It's one of Amazon's top 100 marketing books. He's produced for Charles Carroll and MTV, has even produced a documentary film called Roadside Ambition, the amazing true story of one small town and two huge balls. And this fall, he's got a great new book coming out called Town Inc. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Barry. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, I wrote a book with Becky Murray called Small Town Rules, so I'm a big fan of small towns because I grew up in tiny little Torrington, Connecticut, and not the New York part of Connecticut, Andrew.
Yeah, yeah.
The Connecticut part
of
Connecticut.
I know Torrington,
sure. Of course. Tell us about Town Inc.
Well, Town Inc. is all about how businesses are really transforming small towns, and it's the visionaries that that come out of these businesses that actually are very proactive and can see a vision for the small town, and they make it happen by doing something really unique, which is they stake their claim. So they pick something, and they fill in a blank, like we're going to be the blank capital of the world.
So give us an example of that.
So let's see. Hamilton, Missouri is actually the quick quilting capital of the world. And a woman named Jenny Doan was basically running a little quilt shop. The town was really down and out, huge unemployment rates. And she decided she was going to turn her quilt shop into a mega star. And she started doing YouTube videos every day. And now 50,000 people a year visit Hamilton, Missouri to visit this quilt shop.
Because it's so easy to get the news out for whatever you're going to be, right?
Right.
It's not like you're isolated like in years past.
Yes, exactly right. Like, I mean, we live in a global world where you can kind of preach your message to a very niche audience very rapidly. And what happens when you do that is everybody starts to believe that maybe they would be more successful in that industry if they moved to your town. So I call it location envy. So you've got to create location envy, and that's what gets people to move to your city.
Well, it's interesting, Andrew, because years ago, towns used to get their names because large corporations would move to that town.
That's right.
Is that still happening, or is that a thing of the past?
It still happens, but it's the last step, not the first step. So lots of towns are trying to get one big business to come to town and save the town.
Even if it's a prison
or a
dump.
No, it doesn't matter. Right, yeah, exactly.
or a toxic waste dump.
That's right.
Hey, we let in the toxic waste dump.
That's right. You talk about that in Small Town
right,
Rules.
Exactly.
I mean, I think it's transformed entirely. So I say the formula is grow them. So find a visionary in your town with one line of business in a microcluster, claim that stake in the ground and say, hey, we are going to be the blank capital of the world. And all of a sudden, other people in town start to be related and working in that industry. You start having them work together to kind of preach that message in the digital world we live in. And all of a sudden, you get medium-sized businesses up the supply chain moving in. I call it the supply chain reaction. And then next thing you know, the big business wants to be there because everybody else is there.
Do you find that people are more willing to stay in the small towns because of the way the world is as far as communication? You can work anywhere, anywhen?
I think that's true. I think it's a lifestyle choice. And I think more and more people are finding living in a smaller town, anything under 400,000, I think in this day and age could be considered a small town, is a really great way to live. And the problems they're having are just, you know, it's hard to find a job. It means you've got to commute a long way. And the towns that I studied, I went to 50 different cities across America to find out which ones were booming and which ones were bust. The ones that were booming all had a claim. So Elkhart, Indiana, I know you wrote about Winnebagos
in your
book. I went to Elkhart, Indiana. That's the RV capital of the world. And
been there, spoke for the RV Association of America, so I know that.
That industry has saved that town, not just once or twice or three times, but five or six times since 1920. And that's what's amazing about these towns that are known for one big thing.
I think the great thing also about you can stay in a small town now because previously you didn't have the resource to stay in that town. It was working with the same 10 people. But now you can work with people from all over the world so that people don't actually physically have to be associated right there.
That's right. You can be a global corporation in one place. I just talked to a guy in a little town called Seven Hills, Ohio, and his plan is to turn it into the independent author capital of the world. And he's got his one business there. But if you're an independent writer, you can live anywhere, right? So he wants to be the self-published capital of the world.
So why does this work? Because on one hand, Andrew, it seems like just a shtick.
Right, it does.
But do we all just need shticks to attract people?
Well, think about places like Hollywood or Nashville. Mm-hmm. Why do people move to Hollywood or Nashville?
Right. Or Las Vegas. It started as a shtick,
I guess. That's right. So,
Branson, Missouri, right?
That's right. It's an emotional decision to make these moves. And when you create location envy, when you help other businesses believe that they will be more successful in your town for a specific type of business, then you actually start to grow that town. And those claims can grow too. So imagine if you're the onion capital of the world. That doesn't have a deep supply chain. You grow onions, they leave. But if you become the onion soup capital of the world, now you have a little bit of bigger of a supply chain. And if then you become the soup capital of the world, you've got a bigger supply chain and a bunch more businesses that believe if they're going to make soup, we got to move to this town.
So if you're a small business in one of these towns, where do you get started doing something like this?
You stake your own claim. In this day and age with a digital world, you can have 10 claims for a town. You can create a minor league, and you can all kind of find a place where you can stake a claim in the ground and start people believing that your town is better than every other town for what you do. And you have to have a vision for the long term.
And so where do you live? What's your small town? what claim are you staking
there,
Andrew?
My small town is Boston, Massachusetts.
Not so small
at all. In fact, they have lots of little claims.
A lot of colleges too.
They might be the learning capital of America. To be honest, the Ball of Paint movie, the movie you referenced, Roadside Ambition, in 1999, that started me on this quest to help save small towns. This one guy tried to save his town by turning the ball of paint, a baseball that he painted 20,000 times, into a roadside attraction to save his small town. And the short answer is it didn't work. But the big answer is it pointed the way for something much bigger.
Very cool. Well, Andrew, thanks for coming on the show. Where can you get a copy of Town Inc.?
Oh, you can get a copy of Town Inc. at towninkbook.com, and you can get a discounted copy there. I'll sign it for you, and I'll come to your town and save it.
I love when I sign the books. That means they can't return it.
That's right. Or they have to sell it on eBay.
That's the perfect part. Andrew, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Barry.
This is AM 560. The Answer. We'll be right back.
Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. Thinking of starting your own business? Get on board for a crazy ride. Be the first person to tweet Barry at Barry Moltz and get a free copy of his book, You Need to Be a Little Crazy, The Truth About Starting and Growing Your Own Business. You will need the company. The biggest trap business owners face is that they are continually flip-flopping their time between working for customers and selling to find new business. As a result, when you are doing the work, the sales activity slows to a crawl. This double helix trap keeps businesses struggling for years. Learn the 7 strategies for breaking this trap. Contact Barry at barry@barrymoltz.com.
Merlin 200,000-mile shops are offering car owners 40 hints for money-saving motoring.
Hint number 4.
Worn-out tires can cost you a lot more than new tires.
It's true. In the long run, badly worn tires put stress on suspension parts,
which can lead to real expensive repairs.
Worn tires have poor traction.
That's why so many families are riding on Merlin 200,000-mile warranty tires.
What's your family riding on?
Stop in at your local Merlin 200,000-mile shop for details and a free tire inspection today.
At Merlin.
More life for you and your car.
If you've been making trails all summer, now's the time to get ready for fall. Follow the trail to your local Merlin shop for a free tire inspection. And right now, you can get up to a $70 rebate on a set of 4 General tires during the Making Trails promotion. Go to merlins.com for locations, coupons, and to make an appointment.
Now, back to Business Insanity Talk Radio. It's time to get your small business unstuck on AM 560. The Answer. Once again, Here's Barry Maltz.
Well, it may surprise you, but I am a big supporter of a higher minimum wage. I believe we need to pay people a fair wage so they end up being the working poor and have to be on welfare while they're at work. But what effect does this have on small business owners? There was a recent study done here in Chicago that examines this issue. Michael Saltzman is the research director at Employment Policies Institute and a former field economist at the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Well, you did a survey about 300 small business owners. Tell us about the results.
Yeah, so we were really curious about what kind of steps they were taking now that Chicago's minimum wage is phasing in. And, you know, we sort of surveyed businesses from a wide range of industries. Most of them were small, had 30 or fewer employees. In fact, 60% had 15 or fewer employees. And, you know, not surprisingly, I think for a lot of your listeners, you know, about half of them had raised prices, you know, to offset the cost. But I think more concerning was that for some, price increases weren't enough. And so you had about a third that had reduced their employees' hours, and about one in four actually was either had reduced staffing levels or was planning to do so in the near future. And so I think what you see is business owners, and particularly a lot of lower margin business owners, taking steps to offset an increase in their labor cost.
So do you think it's a bad thing that they raise prices?
Well, I think, I mean, I think the decision that the business owner always has to make is, you know, how much can I raise it and not lose customers. I think, I think if the ability there was limitless, I don't think we'd even have a minimum wage debate, because you could raise the minimum wage as high as you wanted to, and they would just raise prices. I think my bigger concern is it's not whether it's a good thing or a bad thing to raise prices, but what do you do when you can't raise prices any further? And I think that's where the rubber meets the road on the minimum wage debate.
So, Michael, what do you think the alternative then is? Should there not be a minimum wage? What is your thoughts?
No, I mean, I think more productive alternatives actually are things like, you know, actually the earned income tax credit is a good example of a policy that's designed to, you know, support employees who work in jobs that wouldn't exist at, let's say, a $15 minimum wage. So that they can get the workforce experience they need. But if they're, you know, if they're one of those employees who is, let's say, a single parent, that they have the additional support necessary, you know, as they're kind of working in that job and working their way up. I mean, I think that's kind of is good for the employee, and I think it's good. It's realistic, or recognizes the situation the business owner faces as well.
So you're saying an income tax credit for the employee or the employer?
For the employee, so it's the earned income tax credit. Actually, it's a slightly deceptive name, because you actually don't have to have tax creditability to get it. It's basically a transfer payment from the federal government up to, you know, $5,000-$6,000 a year, plus state supplements on top of that. So it's pretty significant.
Well, Michael, I appreciate being on the show. Certainly, this is really an area that we're really going to have to look at much more closely. Where can people get a full copy of the study and learn more about the work you're doing?
Sure. They can go to our website, epionline.org, and we've got the Chicago study right there on the homepage.
Well, Michael, thanks so much.
Hey, sure thing.
Well, and thank you for joining us at Business Sanity Talk Radio. I want to thank our sponsors, Sage One and Nextiva. Special thanks to our booking producer, Sarah Schaffer, and, of course, our producer behind the glass, Debbie Schreiner. If you're serious about getting your small business unstuck, if you think this is the year where you're going to move your business forward, if this is the year where you're going to make more money, you got to give me a call, 773-837-8250, or you can send me an email. It's barry@maltz.com, or better yet, go to www.barrymaltz.com/unstuck. Remember, you got to love everyone, trust a few, and paddle your own canoe. This can really be the week that really makes a difference for your business, but you got to wake up really with the right attitude. That's where it starts every single morning. I hope each and every one of you have a very profitable and passionate week.
You can find Barry on the web at barrymaltz.com. You've been listening to Business Insanity Talk Radio.
Set sail with new